Blog Talk Radio.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. Not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
You don't have to let the devil rule over your life.
But he came, he died on the cross for your sins. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept it?
Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds right here on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Evangelist Benson. Today is Monday, October the 15th, 2012. Thank you and welcome each and every one of you who are listening on this evening and for tuning in. Please call someone, text someone, tweet someone, and let them know we are live here on Radio Land. And again, you're listening to Victory Against All Odds, which is a radio talk show for the family where we talk about some of the struggles, the obstacles that families face as it relates to the struggles of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. We also discuss the residue that flows or sticks with us as we so often find out later in life in our adulthood. So let's talk. My email address is odds, O-D as in dog, D as in dog, S, underscore, against, A-G-A-I-N-S-T, underscore, the letter U, at yahoo.com. Or you may write me or send me a gift of love to P.O. Box 26531. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, Carolina 27611. If you need prayer or have a question or desire to be a guest on the broadcast, simply call the confidential voicemail line at 641-715-3900. Again, that's 641-715-3900, extension 343-658 pound. Again, thank each and every one of you for listening. Tonight, we're going to talk about October representing Domestic Violence Awareness Month. It's been a minute since we've been on the air. We aired last on September 24th, and we had our special guest, Ms. Kenya Howard, who did an excellent job on substance abuse. The interesting thing about all of this is that it all ties together. Substance abuse is one of the ways that we cover up things such as domestic violence or abuse that may have happened in our life. And so to medicate our pain, we then turn to drugs or some type of substance to kind of cover things up. So as we continue to talk about uncovering things and exposing things, we are going to talk about domestic violence on this evening. Domestic violence isn't just about hitting or fighting or a shouting match. It is really a chronic abuse of power. The ability to control the victim by threatening or intimidation, and of course the physical violence that victims experience. You see, domestic violence is defined as any abusive, violent, coercive, forceful, or threatening act or words inflicted by one member of a family or household to another. Now, that was a whole lot right there. The very definition covers many, many layers. And not only does it describe action, but also words. So as we see, words do cut and they punch and can be viewed as an act of violence also. Domestic violence isn't discriminatory. It doesn't show a respect to person. It can happen to anyone, any age, creed, color, or religion. And if we go a bit deeper, we must open up that definition or that meaning of what family is defined as. So I'm almost compelled tonight. You know, I'm always about uncovering things. So let's unpeel an onion tonight. We're going to unpeel an onion. You know, traditionally, we are always thought of family as male, female, children. But we know, and certainly that in 2012, that we can't use that definition or not use that definition because it's kind of gotten quite restrictive. And this ever-changing evolution, we know that the judicial system continues to fight over the very fact that we have shifted from what we consider to be family defined as a man and a woman to the word partner. And so we now also have to kind of open up domestic violence to include emotional, physical, and sexual abuse. And that's between two people who have had some sort of intimate relationship. But we got to go one step further. So we're still going down into this onion. And now we must include children. Past and present relationships that may include brothers and sisters, cousins, anyone living in that household. So some say that the most violent place in the United States is where? It's in our homes. What a sad commentary. What a sad thing to be able to think that our homes is the most violent place in the U.S. And guess what? It takes many, many, many forms. This leaves our children vulnerable and exposed to destructive experiences that they should never have to witness or endure. So through the lens of a child living in that type of environment in their home, they may witness all kinds of things. They may witness their mother being assaulted by their father or the boyfriend or, believe it or not, an older sibling. It is true. We have children who abuse their parents. I can't even imagine such a thing, but unfortunately, in 2012, in the 21st century, it has happened. It is happening right now. The children also experience some of that physical or some of that emotional trauma themselves. He or she may have siblings that they may have witnessed the same. And this also includes sexual abuse. So this moves us to the emotional scars, the humiliation, the coerciveness, and the many threats that are being recorded in their memory card. You think about a brain, the brain is a memory card. So witnessing violence, I think we can all agree that certainly that this alters their brain function, especially children. Not only is it altering adults,
memory function, but it's altering the children. And, of course, again, we're talking about them being most vulnerable because we tend to think of children as not having a voice. Their voice has been silenced through the act of violence, through the act of domestic violence. In January of just this year, Dr. Phil spotlighted a horrific effects of children who witnessed domestic violence. On his episode, I believe it was around the 15th of this year, he hosted a guest on his show. And that man's name was Mr. Brian Martin. Mr. Brian Martin is the founder of Makers of Memories. How interesting is that? Makers of Memories. Because when we talk about domestic violence, that's exactly what we're talking. We're talking about recorded memories of violence. Now, Makers of Memories is a violent organization in the U.S. whose mission is to work with children who are survivors of domestic violence. And they assist in transforming their lives in such a way to promote healthy change. He teaches them to how to cope with that past abuse, and he builds positive views of life in kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, promote them and lead them to feeling like they've been loved and that they are needed. Sadly enough, when we talk about statistics, we got to talk about the statistics. You know, I'm all about numbers. Statistically, it's looking like 1.3 million, I said million women, 835,000 men experience violence by a current or a former partner. Think about that. Now multiply that a couple of times because we've got to include children. And let's just say the average home has at least two. So can you imagine 1.3 women plus two plus however many children that woman may have? I'm not singling out the single men in the United States or in the world. Men who are raising children, you know, who may be in, we have already defined what family might look like now, or what makes up a family in your household or in the households of those in your community, in your neighborhood, in your state. So this is very, very alarming. Very alarming. So how about the consequences of what domestic violence is on children? So remember, we're talking about looking at this through the lens of a child. A lot of people are talking about domestic violence, but what about the child? What does that look like to them? Remember, that child has to grow up, become an adult, and live with the residue. Who's affected by this child growing up in a domestic violence home where these issues have not been resolved? It impacts their adulthood. So then what does that look like, and what does that impact have on society, not only for that particular individual, but to those that particular child would encounter as an adult, their relationship of all sorts on all levels. So children who grow up in violent homes, according to statistics, are 50 times more likely to abuse, what did we talk about last time we were on, substance abuse and illegal drugs. They are 6 more times likely to commit suicide than children who are not exposed to violence growing up. But let's challenge that right now, because who's not experiencing violence growing up? Because even if you're not having violence directly in your home, watch television. So they are still seeing through their lens violence on television. It's coming through the television screen, still in their lens. Okay, so more likely, these children are to be incarcerated. 9 of 10 prisoners report witnessing domestic violence as children. More likely, they are to experience emotional abuse of grief. How about shame and guilt? How about self-blame, fear of abandonment? What about anger? What about helplessness? Remember, we talked in great detail about these various attributes. Powerlessness. Children in domestic violence homes don't have a voice. They've been silenced. What? Embarrassment. Can you imagine your child, you know, this particular child, a child, you who are listening, who may have experienced this, how embarrassing it must have been, was, is, to not be able to bring your friend to your house because your mom has a black eye, or she's been bruised, or you've been bruised, so you not only you can't invite them to your house, you don't want to go to theirs because you're covering up your bruises. These children are more likely to experience behavioral problems, including acting out, withdrawn, being aggressive. How about refusing to attend school? They have a high absentee rate. Why is this? Is anybody listening, or is there anybody paying attention? Or parent-like behavior, simply meaning they too mature. They're acting like parents. That's because the role has shifted. They've become of a because they've now shifted into a role of protection. Children are the ones that are supposed to be protected, but the role has been reversed. That child is now trying to protect their mother, their father, from being hit, hurt. They've stepped into danger zone, if you will, to protect, like a cub and a lion, to protect their parents. They generally exhibit a lying or being extremely defensive. They could become very needy, attention seeking. Or what about manifesting bedwetting? That is one of what we call a manifestation of something that is hidden. Remember, we talked about roots being underground, being hidden, but that which was buried comes to the surface. Whatever that fruit is that was buried, that came up out of the ground, we talked about fruit-bearing trees. So if it was an apple seed, you should see some apples. Well, we don't know that it's an apple tree until we see the fruit. So bedwetting would be the manifestation of the hidden thing. Okay, remember, we're peeling the onion tonight. Nightmares, delinquent behavior, stealing, you know, something of that nature, or a child that, you know, may have, you know, that child is a very intelligent child, but all of a sudden, as time goes on, they don't seem to have those intellectual skills that they should have at that particular age are not being manifested. Mood swings, very easily agitated, shouting and just being mad or lashing out at their peers. What about being more prone to hit or being abused by their partner, or being violent or having a violent partner, or having violent parents? Of course, this increases their risk for having social problems, isolation from their friends, from their family, not being able to have healthy relationships. And we're going to talk about that some more in the months, in the weeks to come. Difficulty trusting other adults. They may have poor coping skills, and anger management skills are lacking, and they avoid their home environment. I could attest to that one. Or becoming a victim or bullying in relationships with other people because they're trying to gain power that has been stripped from them. They want a voice. The children who live in domestic homes more likely to report physical symptoms of headaches, stomach aches, short attention span, anxiety, or being very anxious, tired. They are often ill. They may or may not have good hygiene, or they may be self-cutters, or they may have really regressing behavior, like serious meltdowns at, you know, at the moment that things don't go their way, or in the presence of feeling like they're in an environment that they have no control. Now, certainly all of these things may not necessarily manifest in every situation, and I'm pretty sure you know that. But these are some of the characteristics to be looking for in your neighborhood, in your school, in your organization, if you are a teacher, if you play any significant role in a young person's life. These are some of the things to look for. But then let's flip that some. These may be some of the things that you are dealing with as an adult because it was never addressed. So when we talk about headaches and stomach aches and short attention span, again, I stress this is an outward manifestation of something that is hidden because it's shameful. You don't want to talk about, you know, you grew up in a home where domestic violence took place, or you grew up in a home where things weren't, your family wasn't normal like the child next door, or you're trying to cover things up so much that you've overdone it, and now that stress, the stress of it all, is manifesting physically in a negative way. Now, what people don't often talk about is that domestic violence is costly. It costs us something. It costs financially because someone has to pay for domestic violence. And oftentimes we don't think about it from that perspective. So that's why I was saying earlier that it manifests there on various levels. There are many layers to domestic violence. And financially, it costs the state, it costs the community, it costs that particular town, because there has to be social services programs in place to deal with the fallout. So I've got about 16 minutes left. And so if you are listening, if you have something to contribute to this conversation, if you have walked this path, if you've survived this path and you have something to say, you want to share, certainly push 1. And I'll be more than happy to bring you on the air. Okay. I can see there are 2 callers in the queue. I will open up your mic. I will, I'm going to call out the last 4 digits. Well, in this case, I can call out your area code because they're 2 different area codes. And if you choose to say something, you can identify yourself or not. No pressure there at all. If you decide you don't have anything to say, that's not a problem. We'll simply move on to the next person. So area code 313, this is your host.
Praise the Lord, my sister. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Glory be to God. I enjoy what I did listen to. I'm sorry that I was late. I have to go back and truly enjoy listening to it from the beginning. What I did hear, I truly agree with what you were saying, because as you were speaking about these different things, I could go back into the past and recall different children behavior. And even in adults, matter of fact, even in adults. And I think one of those things, I saw it in me, you know, just being truthful. So we all do have work to do, even within ourselves, if we want to be a complete and a whole person to do the ministry of Christ Jesus or any ministry, even working at your job or whatever the case may be, whoever may have a gift of working with children. It may not be in a church, but it may be in a secular world, you know, public school or whatever, and they may see these different traits, and that can help them even the more in speaking or communicating with their parents or whoever the guardian is for those different children. So, again, I thank you for inviting me, and I also really enjoy what I did here, but I do have to go back and listen to the rest. God bless you. I love you, my sister.
God bless you, too. Thank you for calling, and I appreciate your comment. Amen. Praise God for Prophetess Marcella. Okay, area code 419. You are on air. Thank you for calling Victory Against All Odds. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Oh, I have a comment. I'm a domestic violence survivor. I've been out quite a while, but I understand about all the shame and the guilt that goes along with domestic violence. And, you know, once you get free, when you allow God to come in your heart and allow you to be free from these particular issues, you no longer had the shame or whatever that goes along with domestic violence. You're able to speak it because it becomes a testimony that you survived it, and therefore you're able to say, I survived, and you actually have the responsibility to help other women get out. Because God allowed you to get out that situation for a reason. So we have the responsibility to speak about it. And I'm so thankful that there is someone speaking about it this month. I mean, because it's a problem that goes on very often. And it touches, it crosses every socioeconomic class, race. And I remember when I did a thesis on it, and when it happened to me, I was so ashamed because I felt like I should have known better. But, you know, as I talk with different women, it's like, don't do that to yourself, because a lot of times when you go into these relationships, you don't know. And, you know, I married a person, and I didn't have my first incident until my honeymoon. So it was I felt like I was kind of stuck because, you know, I was married by then. But, you know, as I look back on it, there were red flags. There were signs that, you know, that should have warned me that I shouldn't have married this person. But as we grow in Christ and things, we learn what those things are. Sometimes spiritually you're discerning of those particular things. And other things are just like the clinical red flag, like the jealousy and the isolation and all those things that are on a power and control wheel. So I'm thankful that you were willing to, you know, talk about this, because a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about these issues, and I think that it's wonderful. And I'm always glad to share my story whenever I get the opportunity. And then you mentioned substance abuse, too. Substance abuse was not an issue for me, but it was an issue for him. And so there's a lot of shame and guilt and blame that goes along with the addiction. And when you try to pass those feelings on to your partner. So I was very encouraged tonight that you were willing to talk about this topic. It's something that needs to be talked about more often.
Absolutely, and I think one of the things that that is important is knowing the other person. You mentioned, you know, it being your husband. You know, it leads to the question of a healthy relationship. And I bring that up because I'm working on some things behind the scenes as we continue the month out in terms of healthy relationships, what that looks like, what that sounds like, before we, you know, and what those signs look like, what the signs look like in terms of some of the things that we mentioned, you know, are they short-tempered, and I guess, too, in terms of having tools, the spirit of discernment, and not being so starstruck, if you allow me to say that, that we are overlooking, you know, those things. Now, certainly not saying that as a means of blaming, you know, the victim. Certainly not seeing it from that perspective, but it does leave caution to being very careful and paying attention to some of the warning signs when we are entering into a relationship. But now, of course, but it also goes to looking at those same signs, you know, in the eyes of the child, because that same child has to grow up and become that same adult, you know, who still, you know, have some of the lingering issues of, you know, being short-tempered and withdrawn and, you know, not wanting to go out and, you know, fearful, you know.
Yeah.
And, of course, we know that there are times when people are looking for love, you know, because there's that thing called need, you know, needing the attention portion of it. You know, these are some of the signs, when we talk about awareness, that we who may have experienced domestic violence, including myself, need to be ever so careful. Because it is truly something hidden, you know, certainly, and we need to walk things out a little closely, because so many have not dealt with it. Because in the African American community, I can definitely say we grew up with, especially if you were raised with your grandparents, that you, what's in the house stays in the house. Remember those? You know, build your business outside. So these are some of the things that need to be exposed, and we need to teach our children, you know, and tell our children this is not acceptable. You know, in the school system, you know that leads to caregivers, you know, paying attention, knowing what the signs are, asking the right questions. Because I'll tell you, and I'll be first to say, I gave my administrators a hard time. They were suspecting, but I was covering it up for fear, out of fear of what was going to happen to me when I got home. You know, I feared life itself, you know, in terms of I didn't know whether I was going to live or die that day. My life was an everyday walk. If I made it through the day, I was grateful. You know, the Bible says live each day as though it is your last. I did just that, because I didn't know from one day to the next whether that was going to be my last day. That's how bad it was, you know, from time to time. So then when you enter into a relationship that is not healthy, all the antennas come up, because then you've got a flashback. So it just definitely speaks to us, and it charges us, believe it or not, it charges us to be aware of the signs and the symptoms.
And then one thing I wanted to add was, if the relationship seems too good to be true, that's what it seemed like before. It just was too good to be true. He was like the perfect person. Nobody is a perfect person. And see, all that changed. If it's too good to be true, it usually is. There's something that's hidden, and it was exposed later. So, you know, that's something to think about, because nobody is perfect. Nobody is candy, flowers, jewelry all the time. And it's like he was, honey, it was like being swept off my feet. It was relatively quickly that the proposal came and then the marriage came, and then it was pressure to get to the aisle. Mm-hmm. And then I moved the dates up for the wedding. I moved it up from July to April. And I actually married him on my birthday. So my birthday is really not exactly the same. Is it actually, my birthday has never been the same as it was since I married him. It's never really been exactly the same. And I don't know if anybody can relate to that. It's never been fully the same as it was.
I have heard that people who marry, like, their anniversary date is the same as their birthday or the day after their birthday or, you know, something related to another special day, a Valentine's Day. And, you know, as cute and as sweet as it sounds to do, I would never encourage anybody to do that, because that, you know, that's your birthday. That's, you know, Valentine's Day should not have that cloud over it like that. And like you said, remember I talked about a memory card. That is a memory card that's going to be there until, you know, it is uprooted, it is dealt with, and it is cut. You know, I'm all about peeling the onion away. And so the other thing that I, you know, was going to talk about this evening was, you know, violence alters the brain function. So when we look at the you know, children that have been exposed to violence, and we look at their MRI scan, it looks the same as a soldier in combat. Researchers have concluded that the stressful environment experienced in both children exposed to domestic violence and combat soldiers produce changes in the brain. And the brain functions that contribute to the brain being more sensitive and to danger. They have a heightened sense of danger.
Yeah, hyper arousal. It leads to what do you call it? Revictimization later in life. Like a child that's been victimized early in life, he or she is more likely to be exposed to more violence when they get older.
Yeah, but it also leads to anxiety disorders. So these children are at greater risk of having anxiety disorders throughout their life into their adulthood.
Yep.
And so they're fearful. And you know, as I've, you know, kind of really looked at this, and then, of course, you know, me being who I am, in terms of just ministry, you know, I've identified that same spirit. You know, so is it necessary? So, you know, that is a spirit. That is a spirit that then haunts this person. You know, it's a hidden spirit, and so when you find it, you know, we have to work on making sure that we cast that spirit out. It's not a thing to do, because it's a hidden spirit, because most people are not thinking about it like that. Of course, they're looking at it from the natural side, and of course there is that natural side. We have to deal with it because we dwell you know, in the flesh, but it definitely heightens, you know, it definitely heightens that disorder. And so you know, through the eyes of a child, you then talk about, from the child's perspective, we ask the question, and I'm asking the listening audience as well, you know, what did you do? Did you lose control? That's my question. You know, do you even know And I'm not necessarily saying it in reference to that, that the listening audience, you know, is the person. But it's just a question to put in people's minds so that they can think about it from the perspective of the child. You know, I'm not the same because of you. I'm always afraid of what you'll do. This is the child talking. If only you could see yourself through my eye.
Yes.
You don't want to
cut back on that.
On
yeah, because you're afraid. Even as a child, even as an adult, you're afraid because it's like relationships are harder for you to get into. And so what you do, you have to pray because fear is a spirit. And you have to cast down the spirit of fear because God says that we're filled with the power of love and a sound mind that casts out all fear. So we have to think about, you know, that God is love. And when God is love and we know that God loves us, he loves us more than anything, that agape love from the Father, that it radiates through us and it provides healing. Because I found God shortly after I left and rededicated my life to Christ, and that is how the healing came. But it didn't come immediately. It came, you know, through, you know, steps, and you have to process things. And you continue, and I continue to process, you know, because I think you don't want to take that baggage into another relationship, like another marriage. So you have to really pray, and you have to be set free from these things, because if not, you're going to take it into your next relationship. And domestic violence is control, which the batterer is. It's a divination because it's a controlling spirit. That's the spirit also that the abuser has to get released from before they move on to relationships, because they need to have healthy relationships also. So that's very important.
Absolutely. So I thank you for your comment as well. I thank you for your comment. I think we've gone into overtime here. So
okay.
But now, you know, people can always go back and listen to the broadcast. So just thinking, you know, these are questions. From the eyes of the child, these are, you know, the cry from the eyes of the child. Now, what really struck me is when Dr. Phil did his broadcast in January, the Makers of Memory Foundation. Makers of Memory Foundation is the only, and I say that with a capital O-L-N-Y, is the only national domestic violence organization in the United States that is dedicated to transformation change for the child negatively impacted by domestic violence. The only. The only. Now, there are a lot of social services programs, but they're the only one dedicated to transforming the change for children negatively impacted by domestic violence. All the other programs offer social services assistance to women who've experienced domestic violence, but there's no other that dedicated to the child. So you hear what I'm saying? Yes, so that is just absolutely awesome to me. And this particular foundation was established in 2007. And so they're doing an awesome work to help bring change into the lives of children who have been negatively impacted by domestic violence through intervention and awareness and education and research and advocacy, of course. So I thank you again for tuning in, and for all those others who have tuned in this evening. We can all help stop domestic violence in our communities, in our neighborhoods, my statement always is don't turn your head or be so consumed that we're not paying attention in our school systems, in our church organizations, in our community centers. Join forces and be a loud sounding voice for the children's sake. That's my cry. You know, that we join forces to be a loud sounding voice for the children's sake, because they grow up and they are going to be the ones that make change for us when we are old. They're the ones that are going to be in the White House. They're the ones that are going to be driving the buses. They're the ones that's going to be serving us in all capacities that we know of in society today. They're the ones that's going to be in those roles. So it is imperative that their minds be healthy, that they be healthy and whole. And so I thank each and every one that listened in on this evening. Thank God for you and others that called in and spoke, those who were listening in the radio land, that you into Victory Against All. Again, if you need prayer or desire to contact me or send a love gift, please do so at P.O. Box 26531. Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. Again, that's P.O. Box 26531, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27611. If you need prayer or you desire to be a guest on the program, you may call the confidential voicemail line at 641-715-3900, extension 343-658-POUND. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and have a great night.
You did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
don't have to be lost today. You don't have to wander in darkness. You don't have to let the devil rule over your life. But he came, he died on the cross for your sins. And he's right there where you are now. All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. And he's right there, just and able to forgive you for all of your sins and blot out all of your transgressions. That's why he came. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept him?
I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad that he came. Yes, I am. He came to seek and save the lost. That's the reason why his presence is there. That's the reason why the anointing is there. That's the reason why he's right there in your home, right there in your God, right there in your car, right there in that jail cell. He came to seek and save the lost. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I came to let you know today that that's why he came. Yes, he did. He came to seek and save the lost.
Have a good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining me.